Good evening. My name is Casey Erickson.
And I'm Ben Granholm. And we served on a state officer team back in California with Lindsay.
When Lindsay first asked us to introduce her tonight via Snapchat, countless memories of the last few years instantly came to mind.
The good old days of pillow fights and her reckless driving around the state of California made us realize it would be no easy task to tell you everything you need to know about the infamous hashtag Lindsay Anderson.
See what we did there? During our year, we knew Lindsay was, well, special. Little did we know that she talked to her one-eared cat about the problems in her life and had a crazy addiction to Mountain Dew. But more importantly, she had a very special place in her heart for folks in the Blue Corduroy.
It was at this last year's California State Conference that we finally got to see our fun-sized national officer in action. Whether it's her constant enthusiasm for whatever random high school she seems to be at, even though she's graduated 4 years ago, her constant spirit, no matter wherever she is, always follows. And Lindsay was always one to put her students first.
Now, even though we don't get to talk to or see Lindsay as much as we would like these days, we know that she is in good hands doing what she loves the most, and that is serving all of you.
So without any further delay, please help us in welcoming to the stage your Western Region Vice President, Miss Lindsay Anderson, with her retiring address entitled Giant Moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lindsay Anderson.
Sing with me, stand and sing with me. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back to the screen. Root for the Giants. They don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
You guys are awesome. Glove in hand, ball cap on, and that California sunshine warming my face. It was game day at Pac Bowl Park in San Francisco. Being only 11 years old at the time, I really didn't understand too much about baseball, but this was the day I fell in love with the San Francisco Giants. I remember the day like it was my first time hearing T-Swift. I was sitting in the stands with my whole family. My mom, of course, with a huge bag filled with all sorts of snacks, like we were saving up for the apocalypse. My little brother Jason being the squirrely little boy that could not sit still. My big sis Krista sporting her cute Giants gear. And my dad focused in on the game. On this day, I would have what I call a giant moment. Now, my dad is that type of parent that, to get our attention, would whistle with both hands that sound something like this. Thanks, Dad. And I was always incredibly jealous of this. So on that day, I decided I wanted to learn how to make this obnoxiously awesome noise. Inning after inning, I sat next to my dad and had him try and teach me how to whistle. I practiced so much that the folks all around me started cheering me on and encouraging me to keep trying. It was then that it was nearing the end of the game, and the Giants were losing. That was until my favorite player got up to bat. Number 6, JT Snow. He swung the bat, and the ball went soaring out of the ballpark and into the San Francisco Bay for a home run that put the Giants ahead. In that moment, something came over me. Without hesitation, everyone in the stands shot out from their seats to scream. And without thinking, I placed my fingers up to my mouth and belted out a whistle. Like that. Shocked at both events that had just happened, I burst into a fit of happy tears, and everyone around me started congratulating me. Now, looking back, I cannot believe I had embarrassed myself or my family in that way. But this was the day I fell in love with baseball, my beloved Giants, and have never been more proud. Proud of myself and a sense of pride for something bigger than myself. It was a giant moment for me. We've all had moments like that, right? Moments where we get completely caught up in this weird emotion, a mixture of excited and anxious, yet solemn. You don't know whether to scream out in joy or get teary-eyed. A lot of us probably had one of these moments back in January when we saw this commercial play for the first time during the Super Bowl.
It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk. Somebody who'd bale a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
Pride. When defined, can mean two different things. First, a feeling of superiority, a haughty attitude shown by somebody who believes, often unjustifiably, that he or she is better than others. Or it can mean the proper sense of one's value, the correct level of respect for the importance and value of your personal character, life, efforts, or achievements. The difference in those definitions depends on what we take pride in and how we show it. The commercial is a perfect example of the second definition. When we watch the Ram commercial, we are passionately proud. But often, people think of pride in a negative manner. But why can't we think of pride in a good way, like the second definition, and use it in a positive light, both what we take pride in and how we show it? One thing I take pride in, using the good definition, is this jacket. And I have since I was little, but probably for an entirely different reason than you might expect. See, this year we're celebrating 80 years in the blue jacket, but what you may not know is that in 1939, the FFA had a white sweetheart jacket, and was a tradition continued until 1993. In fact, growing up, we had this in my hall closet, owned by one of the sweetest people I know, my mom. Yep, my mom was a chapter sweetheart, and my dad was also a very involved and successful FFA member. My parents met in high school and were high school sweethearts. This jacket and this picture make me proud. Aren't they cute? And it makes me proud not just because they were in FFA, but for what this image represents. My parents got married a few months out of high school and have been happily married for 32 years. Paid their own way to college, so the first years of marriage were difficult. And my parents faced challenges I can't even fathom. For the first several years, they lived in a fifth-wheel trailer. Fast forward, and my dad was in vet school with a child and wife to provide for, while my mom was working night shifts as a nurse. Then, by the time my dad graduated with his doctorate in veterinary medicine, I had also been born. My parents' experiences have shaped me into who I am. Because they have and continue to work for everything they have, my siblings and I have been shaped by our upbringing. For example, because my parents weren't necessarily well off, my mom used to save and reuse aluminum foil and has taught me to be conscious of being wasteful. Because my dad has supported a family since an early age, I have learned that we should work hard and earn what we have. I am proud of my parents and their humble beginnings. I am proud of where I come from. Take pride in who you are and where you come from, good, bad, or otherwise, because it has made you the person that you are. When I think about my family and the things that we value, it is one of those giant moments. It is that moment that makes me overwhelmed with pride. Now, think about you, What things made you who you are? What bumps, bruises, scars, or moments shaped you? Who has helped shape you? Be proud of that. Now, have you ever felt as though you knew someone pretty well, then come to find out there was something pretty significant you didn't know? Yep, totally happened to me this year. See, 3 years ago, I met Kristen Sheets, and since then, have seen and talked to her multiple times. Mrs. Sheets is an agriculture teacher in Arkansas, so I also got to see her at their convention. Arkansas in the house. And I got to spend a couple days with her after. As we headed to her house, we had a great convo about her dad, her new teaching position, and some awesome FFA members from her chapter. As we got to her house and went inside, I began to see a theme in pictures, knickknacks, and other memorabilia. In numerous photos, there were men in uniform, and there was a military uniform in the garage, along with a poster. Everywhere I looked, there was military stuff. So finally, I asked, "What does your husband do?" Then it all came together. Mr. Sheets serves in the military. She told me that he had served in the Navy for the 9 years, then transferred branches, serving in the National Guard for the past 6 years. He also shared. She also shared that her brother-in-laws also serve in the military in one capacity or another. I was taken back. I thought, why have I seen and talked to you multiple times and hadn't known? Why don't you talk about it? That's something I'd be proud of. Then, all at once, I thought back to another experience I had this year. I was traveling with Wiley, and we got the chance to visit the U.S. Army in Fort Knox in Kentucky. I had never been to an Army base before and was completely taken by the overwhelming amount of pride I had just being there. I have literally never felt so proud to be American. Seeing the waving flags, the men and women in uniform, the uniform that is worn to protect our country. The entire day, I didn't know whether to radiate with a smile or tear up. I wish I could describe to you how I felt that day, but I just can't. Kind of like if you tried to describe the first time you watched the Ram commercial. I had a giant moment in Fort Knox. And it was then that I realized why Mrs. Sheets didn't tell me. It's not because she didn't want to or because she's not proud. It's because she didn't have to. She loves the man that her husband is and is proud of what he does, but doesn't have to talk about it to know that. It's something she feels with her heart. Mrs. Sheets taught me that it is more about showing our pride using this and less of this. In FFA, we do a really good job of using this. But are those words matched with our actions? The FFA creed states, not of words, but of deeds. We say it, but are those words matched with the actions that carry that out? Although cliche, we must let our actions speak louder than our words. Think about what you take pride in. How do you show it? If you take pride in your school, maybe you root for your team at football games or talk highly of it to others. But do you show it using this? By picking up trash on campus, even if it's not yours. Who's proud to be American? Let me hear ya. If you are proud to be an American, maybe you shout, "America!" There you go. But do you show that pride using this? And stop whatever it is that you are doing to place your right hand over your heart to sing the national anthem as you quietly respect the symbol of our great nation. We put community service hours on our applications for that scholarship or position, but when push comes to shove, do we show it using this by helping out around the house where those hours aren't counted? This is what we must use in order to show our pride. Dad always taught me that you should take pride in everything that you do because it's got your name on it and reflects who you are. Whether it's as simple as cheering for your favorite baseball team or as important as taking a moment of silence for men and women in uniform. These are the things that I take pride in, that give me that giant moment. And I have to remind myself and constantly think about the message that I am sending through my actions and check myself before I wreck myself to make sure that I'm using more of this than this. What do you take pride in? What messages are you sending through your actions? Take pride in who you are. Take pride in where you come from and show that pride through your actions using this. We all learned the FFA Creed our first year in FFA. But do you know why? E.M. Tiffany didn't write the creed because we needed to scare away some freshmen with a speech contest. Although it works. The creed was written as a testament to our values in FFA. What was in here? The hope is that these words become something we live by, something we show louder in our actions and in our deeds than we do with our words. It has been an honor this year to travel around and speak to the public about FFA. But do you want to know what they say most about those blue jacket wearers? They don't talk about the words we use or the content of our 6 to 8 minute prepared public speech. They don't talk about our 30-second elevator speech. They talk about the way we carry ourselves, the way we respect others and ourselves, the way we handle responsibility. They talk about our actions. And when I meet former FFA members and alumni, well, they take pride in the blue jacket, what they were and are a part of. And when asked about their FFA experience, their giant moments in the blue jacket, they get a little choked up. And then they smile because their pride comes from here, not from here. What will you take pride in? How will you show it? FFA friends, I am so proud to have been a part of a world filled with barbecue lunches, ripped pantyhose, the power clap, crazy car rides with ag teachers, YouTube videos, early stock show mornings, hardworking yet caring people, laughter, tears, relationships, and countless memories. Thank you for giving me so many giant moments.